One. Today's daf is daf chaf ches. So we got a couple lines down. The Gemara has been talking about the definition of an ohel. And let's actually take it from the bottom of chaf zayin or beis. And the Gemara says, quote from the Mishnah, Hayotze min ha'etz eino metame tumas olam ela pishtan. The Mishnah taught us that anything that grows from the ground is not considered an ohel for tumas ohel, with the exception of pishtan. Which we said that meant is that any material can serve as an ohel to transmit tuma from a mace to kelim, but whether the oil itself becomes tame, that is limited only to pishtan. So how do we know this? So the Gemara said in the last line of Chaf Zayin Rebeis, Minalan, how do we know? Amar Rebbe Lazar, Gamar Oel Ol Mishkan. We have a Gzera Shava. What's a Gzera Shava? Ksiv Hach, it's written here by Tumas Oel, Zos Hatara Adam Kiamus Baohel. In Parshat Chukas, it talks about the Oel, the concept of Tumas Oel. It's written there by the Mishkan, Vayifros es ha'oel al ha'mishkan, and Moshe Rabbeinu had spread the oil on top of the Mishkan. So we see it says oil by Mishkan, and it says oil by Tumas Meis. Malahalan shapishan kari ohel, just like by the Mishkan, they had a covering that was made of pishan, and yet it was called an ohel. So afkan here too, shel pishan kari ohel. By Tumas Meis, a pishan also, classifies as an ohel, and is subject to Tumas Meis. So the Gemara says, Iha malahala, and if later on by the Mishkan, if we're using the Mishkan as a model for definition of an ohel, so we should require malahala and shizurin vechutin kafal shisha, the threads were spun 6 times over, like all the dinim of how the threads had to be in the Mishkan, so afkan, maybe by Tumas Meis as well, we should require shizurin vechutin kafal shisha, that they should be threaded and 6 times wrapped over, that should be anything less than that, should not be an ohel. Where it says can't be, because Tamal Omer, it says in Parshas Chukas, Ohel, Ohel. It says Ohel a number of times. Uriba, coming to include that you don't need Daf the way it was in the Mishkan, it's more inclusive. So although you do need Pishon, it doesn't have to be threaded and doubled over like the threads of the Mishkan. So Gemara says, now, E, Ohel, Ohel, Riba, if we're using the double Lashon of Ohel in Parshas Chukas to include other types of oils, Afilu Kol Milei Nami, so maybe we should include other materials, not only Pishtan. So the Gemara says, Imkain, if that's the case, if Ohel Ohel is coming to include all types of materials, so Gzera Shava Mai Ahanile. So what's the function of the Gzera Shava learning from the Mishkan? There must be some limitation. And therefore, since we have on one hand a Gzera Shava, Ohel Ohel for Mishkan, which limits the applications, and yet we have the double lashon of Ohel Ohel, all in Parshas Chukas, which is more inclusive, we have to have some type of balance. So balance is, we learn from the Mishkan only a Pishkan, but we learn from Ohel Ohel and Chukas that not every type, not only six doubled over 6 times, but any type, any level, any amount, any quality of Pishtan satisfies the definition of an Ohel. So the Gemara says, okay, so now that we're using the Ohel as a model, rather the Mishkan as a model for an Ohel, maybe we should suggest, V'ema malahalan krashim, afkan krashim. Just like by the Mishkan, not only was the covering called an Ohel, but even the krashim, the walls, were called an ohel. Here also, perhaps, when it comes to the Tumas Ohel, maybe the wall should also be considered an ohel, which would mean that just like the defanos were made of wood, wasn't made of pishon, the krashim of the Mishkan were made of etim, so maybe by Tumas Ohel, all types of wood should also be subject to the dinim of ohel. Again, if using Mishkan as the model. So Gemara says, Amar Kra, the pasuk says, Vasisa krashim la Mishkan, that the krashim were made for the Mishkan. None of the walls were the Mishkan. The walls were there to serve the Mishkan, but they weren't the Mishkan itself. So the Gemara's Medayik, Vasisa krashim la Mishkan, Mishkan, Kari Mishkan, the Mishkan, the Ohel, the coverings are called Mishkan, Vein krashim, Kuri Mishkan, but the walls themselves are not called the Mishkan. So we can't learn any halachas from the walls, because the walls weren't the Mishkan, they were just there to serve, to hold up the Mishkan itself. El Miata, if that's the case, the Gemara says, Vasisa Michse L'Ohel. You should make a covering for the Ohel. Now, which covering? We know there are a number of different coverings on top of the Mishkan. So this, you need to read the whole pasuk here. The pasuk reads, Vasisa Michse L'Ohel, Oros Elim Ma'adamim U'michse Oros Techashim Milamala. And you made a coverings of leather on top of the Mishkan. So we see here that Michse L'Ohel, that the leather covering, the ore, was a covering for the Ohel, but the ore wasn't a covering itself, wasn't an Ohel itself. So Gemara says, Elamayata again, V'asisa Michse L'Ohel, you should make a covering for the Ohel, a leather covering for the Ohel. Hachanami, here as well, Michse L'Ikre Ohel, the covering, the ore, is not called an Ohel. It's just serving the Mishkan, but it itself isn't an Ohel. So the Gemara says now then Ella Had the Bai, that question that Bai Rabbi Elazar asked the question, or Behema Temeya Mahu Sheitame Be'ohel Hames. He raised the question, the skin of a non kosher animal, does that have a din of Tumas Ohel? So Gemara says, Hashta or Behema Tahora Lomatame. If we're concluding that the leather that or behemah Torah, we know the mikseh of the oil was made of a kosher animal. So if a kosher animal skin doesn't have the ability to metame, so certainly behemah tamei mibar, you have to raise a question about a behemah tamei. Because a behemah Torah, the more kadosh something is, the more Torah something is, the more likely it is to be contaminated. But a behemah tamei, a non-kosher animal, it's already tamei. There's no additional type of tumma. Now, when we say behemah tamei is tamei as is, it means just usser. But it's not, again, as I said, something that has more kadosh, more Torah, the more susceptible to tumma it is. So if we've established that the or me'adamim, the leather on top of the Mishkan, was only a michse la'ohel, but it itself wasn't an ohel, it itself isn't tumas meis, so certainly from a non-kosher animal, an or from a non-kosher animal certainly shouldn't be subject to tumah either. So how could Reb Elazar even raise a shaila? So the Gemara says, no. Shiny hasim, it's different when it comes to the michse, the or. But even though the pasuk says michse la'ohel, which implies that the or itself isn't an ohel, but since the hadr ahadre kra, the pasuk came again and retracted, the pasuk ended up including michse or as an ohel. Dichsiv v'nasu as yiros ha-mishkan, they lifted up the covers, the curtains of the mishkan, v'es ol moed michseu u'michse ha-tachash asher alav. So we see from here that when it says yiros ha-mishkan, that's including all types of coverings, the pishtan, the tsemer, all of that. And when it says Oel Moed, that's referring to the different yirios of the izim of the goat. And then when it says Michseu Michse Tachash, the covering, that's referring to the skins of the different animals. And yet we see from here Makish El Yom Natachtam. We're comparing the upper coverings to the lower coverings. The upper coverings meaning the or to the lower coverings, which is referring to the goat hair. So Ma Tachtam Kari Ohel, just like the Yiros Ha'izim, the goat hair, is called an Oel, as referring to Oel Moed, so to Af Elyon Kari Ohel, so to the top covering, namely the Oros, the leather, is also called an Ohel. So even though initially the Pasuk called a Michse Le'ohel, it's covering to the Oel, but the Or itself isn't an Ohel, the Pasuk later on comes to include, based on this Hekesh, it does include the Oros as an Ohel. So in the end of the day, we pass in that a behemah tahora, the or of a behemah tahora, is subject to tumas ohel. And then Reb Elazar has this question, it's a fair question, what about when it comes to the or of a behemah tumea? So Gemara now says gufa. So going back to that question of Reb Elazar, by Reb Elazar, or behemah tumeo, mahu sheyitame tumas ohel. What's the din of the skin of a non-kosher animal? Is that subject to the dinim of tumas ohel that we've been describing? So, Maikim Mabarle, what's the suffix? What was his tut stadim? So, Amar Rav Ada Bar Ava, Tachash Shehaya Bimei Moshe Kimibarle. He was raising the question about what was the nature of the Tachash. One of the coverings was a Michseh Tachash Asher. I love the Pasuk says. The leather, the skin, the hide of this animal called a Tachash, that was the last covering on top of the Mishkan. So, what was the nature of that animal, that Tachash Shehaya Bimei Moshe Kimibarle? That was the suffix. Was that an animal that was tamehaya or tahoraya? He wasn't sure what type of animal. Was it a non-kosher animal? Was it a kosher animal? And that was a suffix. And then whatever that answer would be, that would then dictate the question about skin in general. In other words, if the or tachash of Moshe Rabbeinu was a non-kosher animal, and yet it was used as a mishkan and called an ohel, so then we could learn from there that every non-kosher animal skin is also called an ohel. But if the tachash of Moshe Rabbeinu was a kosher animal, then we don't have any proof that a non-kosher animal skin is subject to the dinim of tumas ohel. So that was the suffix. What was the nature? What was the categorization? What was the status of the tachash shahaya bimei Moshe? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, Maiti barley. What was the suffix? Tanina. There's a clear brayso that states, Lahuch shur lemlecha shemaim ela or behema tahora bilvad. There's a clear statement that when it comes to melecha shemaim, when it comes to mitzvahs, when it comes to davarish kedusha, such as the Mishkan, only that which is tahor, only that which is kosher, is permitted to be used. So therefore it must be, since this is melecha shemaim, the building of the Mishkan is melecha shemaim, it must be that it was the tachash bimei Moshe was certainly a kosher animal. So asks the Gemara, Meisiv Rabbi Abba. he challenges this from a different price. It says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shnei Michsos Hayu. So the pasuk that the Rabbi Yehuda is commenting on, the pasuk is, we said before, Vasisa Michse La'oel Oros Elim Ma'adamim. You use the skin of different types of rams. Umichse Oros Techashim Milamala. And you also had the skin of the Tachash. So you had two different two different skins being used for the Mishkan. So the Gemara quotes in Machlokas that Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shnei Michsos Hayu. There are two coverings. Echad shel oros elim ma'adam, and one level of covering was the skin of these rams. V'yachad shel oros techashim, and the next layer was the skin from this tachash. Then Rabbi Nechemi Omer, michse echad hayam. No, it was one layer, but they actually had mixed and matched. Half of it was made of the ram, and half of it was made from the tachash. Kamin v'doma kamin tala ilan. It was similar to this tala ilan. A tala ilan, Rashi explained, is a chayat tamehi, a non-kosher animal, and menumeris begavin. It was spotted, or perhaps it had lines like a zebra, like a tiger. It had different types of shades and different colors to it. So it was mixed together. They had some or tachash mixed together with the or elim oros elim ma'adamim. So the Gemara says, "V'ha tala ilan tamehu." And isn't a tala ilan, isn't this a type of animal that's non-kosher? So we see from this braisa that non-kosher animals was permitted in the time of the Mishkan, and therefore we should answer the question that, firstly, you can use a mintemeya, a non-kosher animal, from lech hashemayim, number one. And number two is you can answer the question of Rebbe Elazar that an or behemoth temeya is called a ohel. So Gemara explains, no, hachi kamar. What Rebbe Nechemia says when he compares the or of the elim me'adamim mixed together with or tachash, it doesn't mean it was actually the min tala ilan. It was kimin tala ilanu. It was similar to this animal, the non-kosher animal that had different shades. Sheyeshbo gvanim harbi, that had many different types of colors and shades, a very colorful animal. But lo tala ilan, but it wasn't actually a tala ilan. Because by an actual tala ilan, tamei, that's a tamei animal. But hacha, tahar. But the tachash was a kosher animal. So even Rabbi Nechemia is saying only kosher animals were used, because lo huchshu l'mlecha shemaim ela or behema tahar bavad. We could only use from kosher animals for the building of the Mishkan or any other mlecha shemaim. The Gemara now brings a proof for this idea that Amar Rav Yosef Ihach, if that's the case, Hainu demetagaminan, now that Rabbi Nechemia taught us that the Tachash in the times of Moshe was similar to this animal called the Tala Ilan that had many different colors and shades, Hainu demetagaminan, that's what the Targum explains. What does the word Tachash mean in Aramaic? It means Seskona. What's Seskona? Shesos begavin harbe. Seskona is a hybrid of two words. Sus means happy, and gona is a gavna, many shades. It was happy. It was very happy, a rainbow type of colored animal, colored skin, and that's the definition of a tachash. So now the Gemara says, after establishing that the tachash was a kosher animal, now Rav Amar, he thinks it was actually a non-kosher animal. So Gemara says, Rav Amar, or behema tumeya dimitami ba'oel mehemes. He thinks that if you use the skin of a non-kosher animal, it will be considered a tumas ohel ames. Mehach, he learns that from the following braisa. The Tani, the braisa, teaches us there's a braisa with respect to negayim. It says in the pasuk, over or. So the pasuk says or. It says that tame negatras, if it's on the or, it's metame. It says or, over or. What's the extra letters O and the bays? Reba or behemetameya. That not only a kosher animal skin is subject to tumas negatras, but even a non-kosher animal skin, if it's made into a clear or beged, it's subject to tumah. Shelaka biad kawain, that as well would be subject to tumas negatras. Katas mikulon, let's say a person takes a combination of different materials, the Brisa says, some wool and some linen and some skin, the also achas mem, makes some type of beged that's a combination of these different types of materials. How do I know that too is considered a beged minayim? Tamalomer o b'chom lechas or any other combination of skin and tzemer pishim. But either way, we see from this braisa that even an or behemoth tumeya, based on the words over or, is also subject to tumas negatras. So just like it's subject to tumas negatras, says of Yosef, it's also subject to tumas ohel hames. So Gemara says, not true. Ikla mefrach, there is room to distinguish between tumas negayim and tumas ohel. Ikla mefrach, mal negayim shekein shesiv erev tamei behen. There's a certain chumrah that only negatras has, namely that even the shesiv erev, even the threads themselves are subject to negatras, as opposed to tumas meis. Tumas meis, you need something that's an actual beged. So you can't bring a raya just because negatras and or behema tmeya is subject to negatras. It doesn't mean by tumas meis it's metame an or of a behema tmeya. So the Gemara says ella amar ella gamar. He learns it out from shrotzim, just like shrotzim. The Tani, the Brayis, that teaches us by shrotzim. It says the pasuk or that sheret could be metame or a beged made of leather. Ainly ella or behema tahora. I only know skin from a leather from a kosher animal. Or behema tameya minayin. How do I know if it's beged made from a non-kosher animal? It's also subject to tumas sheretz. Tamalomer or. So we see by tumas sheretz, just like tumas sheretz is metame, even the or behema tameya, so to tumas ohel meis should be metame tumas the or of a behema tameya. The Gemara says, no, you can't learn from shrotzim because itil mifrach. There's room to distinguish that shrotzim is more chomer than tumas ameis. Malah shrotzim shekei metamin b'kadasha. The shiva sheretz has the ability, even if the sheretz is so small, the size of a lentil, it has the ability to metame, as opposed to tumas ameis, you need a kazayis. So just because sheretz has this chumra that can be metame, the or of a behemoth tameya, doesn't mean by tumas ohel ameis it would have the same din. So the Gemara says, okay, well, negam yochichu, you can learn from negayim that negayim are not metame the kadasha, rather it needs the size of a kagris. But chazar din, we go back and forth, lo reizek, that both negayim and sheretz on its own has a certain chumra that you can't learn to tumas meis, but if you put them together, hatara shavishabhem, the common denominator between sheretz and negatzeras is she'or tame behen, that they're able to be metame skin, u'sha'asa or behemet meh, or behemet torah, and they've equated the halachas of the skin of a non-kosher animal to that of a kosher animal. So just like both sheretz and negatzeras in tandem have the ability to be metame or behemet meh, afani avi, so too I'll bring in ol hames she'or tame bel, that ol hames could be metame the or of a behemet meh. Benasa bo or behemet meh or behemet torah. That's the limud. So the Gemara says, Amar le Rava. Rava says, Mi barnish le Rav Ashi ikul mifrach. You could still raise a question, even using the common denominator between shiratzim and tzaras, you could still ask, Ma la tzara shavashem, shekein tamem bepachos mikazayas. But both sheretz and negatras are both unique, that they're able to be metame less than a kazayas, either a kadasha or a kagris, respectively. But tomer b'meis, are you going to apply that to meis? She'enu metame el b'kazayas. You need a shir of a kazayas of the meis to be metame. So even with the common denominator of sheretz and negatras, you still can't apply it to the din of tumas ameis. So this all rejects that concept that maybe the or of a behemoth tameya is not going to be metame tumas ohel against Rav Yosef. So the Gemara says, last few words in Chaf Chesam Alf here, Ela Amar Rava. Rava says, Mi Barnish, that Asi B'Kava Chomer, Mi Nota Shel Izam. We're able to learn a Kava Chomer from the wool or the hair of the goat. What does that mean? She'em Metame B'Negayim. That the din is that we learn by Negayim that only Negayim are only Metame Tzemer Pishim. But it's not Metame the Nota Shel Izam. She'em Metame B'Negayim. Yet, it's Metame B'Ohal Meis. But the wool of a goat is metame tumas ohel meis. That was based on the pasuk of the Mishkan, because one of the layers of the Mishkan was the notzah shel izim, which was called ohel moed. So by ohel, notzah shel izim is called an ohel. It is subject to tumas ohel, even though it's not metame b'negayim. So if that's the case, we could say, or behema tameya shemetame b'negayim, but the skin of a non-kosher animal, which is metame b'negayim, based on the pasuk of over or, so then certainly ain't no din shemetame ba'ol meis, certainly it should also be metame tumas ohel as well. So we see from here that this proves of Yosef's point that in fact or behema tameya is going to be subject to tumas ohel. Okay, so the Gemara says now, Ve'el, if that's the case, if we're right now concluding that the or behema tameya is metame tumas ohel meis, Hadatani, that brisa of Yosef, lahuchshu b'mlecha shemaim ela or behema tor bevad l'may hilchasa. What was that applying to? What's the halacha there? I mean, if we allow that a tachash would be allowed to be used for mishkan and an ohel, so when we had this din, in other words, if the or tachash was really used for the mishkan, which is an animal that's tameh, now we're saying, so what was that statement of Rav Yosef that we only allow kosher animals for mlecha shemaim? What was he referring to there? So the Gemara says as follows. It says, L'tfilin. That halacha was stated only with respect to tefillin. Gemara says, tefillin, we don't need a drasha for it. We don't need a brice from Rav Yosef telling me that tefillin comes from kosher animals. We know that from elsewhere. Tefillin behed yiksivu, the mefurish pasuk that tefillin has to come from kosher animals. It says in the pasuk, L'man tiyat taras Hashem b'ficha, right? Connecting it to tefillin. V'haya l'cha l'os ha'yadcha. So that Torah should be in your mouth. What does that mean in your mouth? The tefillin can only be made from that which we placed in your mouth. In other words, that which is kosher. So we know from this pasuk that only that which is a behemah Torah. You don't need a separate statement of Rav Yosef telling me that didn't. Gemara says, no, Ella le'oron. That's referring to the oron that the skin has to come from this. L'manti had Torah Shem B'ficha is referring to the, that's referring not to the ore, that's referring to the cloth. But in terms of the boxes, the batim themselves, that's where we need the brice, even the boxes, even the batim require coming from a kosher animal. So the Gemara says, Bahamar, Abai didn't buy teachers though, that the shin shall tefillin halacha moshmi Sinai, that din, that the shin that you make on the outside of the sharosh, has to come, we have a din of halacha moshmi Sinai, and all the dinim are related to this. So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Rashi says, first look at La'oran. Rashi says around 6 and a half lines down La'oran, or dafus shalahen, sheksavim shall parshas munachim bo, the ore that was shaped like a box, in which the ksavim were placed inside, lo milamantia benafka. It's not learned out from the word lamantia, tarsa shem beficha, ta lav tarak ksiva ben. That's not written on it. We only learn from the pasuk of laman, tia tarsa shem beficha, we only learn that the ksav has to be written on kosher skin. But the boxes, we only learn that from the pasuk, from the statement of Rabbi Yosef, that lo huchshu melecha shemaim elav or behema tamea. But now the Gemara says, wait a second. Even the boxes are learned from halacha moshe Sinai. As Rashi says, shin shal tefillin. The shin that's on the tefillin, sheyehe or nikmat mibuchutz, that we shape the box, the or, we want to squeeze it and shape a letter shin on the outside of sharosh, so it has the image of a shin, v'dom with a shin, it's similar to a shin, says Rashi, v'aretsua niksheris kimin dalet, and the knot on the back of the sharosh is like a dalet, v'yesh v'tsua kfufa kimin yud, and there's a yud also in the shayar. That's the shame Hashem, Shin Dalad Yud. And since the name of Hashem is written even on the boxes, so yes, just like the cloth where you write the psukim, you write Hashem's name on it, requires, based on the pasuk of Leman Tiyeh, so too when it comes to the boxes themselves. The boxes also is a Shem Hashem. There's a Shin, and there's a Dalad, and there's a Yud. So that's also based on this pasuk of Leman Tiyeh, Taras Hashem Beficha. What do you need? The extra statement of Rav Yosef of Lo Huchshu Melecha Shemaim, Ella Or Pema Teor Bevat. So Gemara says, no, Ella Lekorchan Bisa'aram. When it comes to wrapping the parshas together, if you've ever saw inside, they roll up the parshas after they write them, and they tie them with a little knot using the hair of an animal and the toe from begidin. And when they sew the box closed, they also use the gidin, the sinews of the animals. So we learn from here that that's not based on the pasuk of leman tiyeh Taras Hashem Beficha, because the hairs, the threads, and the gidim are not any letters. They're not Torah. They're not psukim. They're not Shem Hashem. So that's where we learn the statement of Rabbi Yosef, lo huchshu melecha shemaim ela or behema tahora bilvad. When it comes to sewing them together, when it comes to tying together the cloth, that also requires a kosher animal based on this brisa in the name of Rabbi Yosef. So the Gemara says, Hanami, that too is also halacha Moshe Mesinai. That too, those halachas of using the Sa'arin and the Toh from Begidin are also halacha Moshe Mesinai. You don't need the statement of Rav Yosef. The Tani, the Braisa, says, Tefillin Merubos, Tefillin have to be square, halacha Moshe Mesinai. And also, Nichrachos Bisarin, they have to be wrapped together with hair, Benitparos Begidim, and sewed with the Gidim. That too is halacha Moshe Mesinai, which means it has to come from a kosher animal as well. So the Gemara says, you're right, we've covered everything except for Ella Liraturos. The ritzuos themselves, the straps themselves, that's not mentioned, and that did of not being mentioned, that, how do you know you have to use a kosher animal for the ritzuos? That is based on the statement of Rav Yosef, that again, lo huchshum lech shmaim ela or behema Torah bil vad. Okay, so now, one second here. So the Rishon asked the question, wait a second, don't we have in the Ritzuos themselves the Dalit and the shapes of the Yud in the knots of the Ritzuos? Isn't that considered part of Shem Hashem? And what the Rishon answer is that no, those are only knots. Those are not really ksavim, those are not really letters, those are only knots. And therefore only the Sharosh, which has an actual shin on it, only that is part of the ksav and based, including the pasuk of Leman Tiyeh Taras Hashem Beficha. When it comes to the shape of the dalet and the yud of the rituals, even though they look like like letters. They're really knots, and therefore not subject to the din of ksav. Now, Rabbi Akiva Eiger asks on the side of the page in Gilui Nashas, he says, this shin makes sense for the head sharosh. That I get. I get the sharosh. There's a clear shin, and that's part of Shem Hashem of Shin Dal Yud. That requires Lamantia Torah Hashem Beficha. But the shayad, there's no shin in shayad. How come that requires? Who knows that the box of shayad has to come from a kosher animal? There's no shin on it. So Rabbi Yashu just answers very simply, because we know in general that the Sharosh and Shayad are very intertwined, they're the same mitzvah, and since they're intertwined, similarly the halacha that apply to Sharosh should equally apply to Shayad. So even though Shayad doesn't have any shin on it, the halachas are learned out and derived from Sharosh. Either way, right now the stage of the Gemara we're up to is that we have this din that everything is either learned from the Pasuk or Lachem Moshe Sinai that has to come from a kosher animal, and the only thing left off was the Ritzuros. And that, we know, the ritzuos have to come from a kosher animal, is learned out from the statement of Rav Yosef in the Braisa. So the Gemara says, wait a second. V'ha'amar Rav Yitzhak, ritzuos shcharos halacha mosh mesinai. The very fact that the ritzuos must be black, that's halacha mosh mesinai. And if it's halacha mosh mesinai, seemingly this too is going to be subject to only being used from a kosher animal. So even the ritzuos has a tradition to use from a kosher animal. You don't need the Braisa of Rav Yosef. So Gemara says, Nihi the Gemiri granted that the rituals are Sharos, the fact in the black, that's Halacha Moshe Mesinai, but Tahoros, mi Gemiri, but whoever said that part of that tradition is that it has to come from a kosher animal, that's what's unclear. And therefore Rav Yosef concludes, based on the Braisa, that Kol Mlecha Shemaim, Lo Huchshu Mlecha Shemaim Ela, or Behema Tor Bavad, that only applies to that din is adding even the rituals must be from a kosher animal. There is a very interesting discussion in the Ran. What would the halacha be when it came to a shofar? Can he use the shofar of a non-kosher animal? So on one hand, he says that you should be able to, because this din of lohuchshu mlechashmaim ela or behema tar bavad, that only applies to dinim such as tefillin. That's the dharm shvah kedusha. But Tashmisha Kedusha. But the shofar isn't a Tashmisha Kedusha. Shofar is simply a Tashmisha Mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. There's no Kedusha. There's no Shemus Hashem. But then the Ran says, well, maybe it is, because the Gemara Rosh Hashanah tells us that the ability of the shofar is so strong that it brings a zichron to Hashem. It's l'fnai l'fnim, the Gemara says. It's like going inside the Kodesh Kedashim. So perhaps it does have a din of melechas shemaim. So he goes back and forth how one categorizes a shofar. Is it stam tashmishi mitzvah, and you could even use a non-kosher animal? Or is it considered higher level than a standard tashmishi mitzvah, and you can only use a kosher animal? Now, in this conversation, Nod Behuda points out from the Gemara in Sukkah that says you're allowed to use as a wall a peel, an elephant. An elephant certainly isn't going to be considered it's certainly not a kosher animal, and yet you can use it for Tashmisha Mitzvah. So he says, just like for Tashmisha Mitzvah of Sukkah, you're allowed to use a peel, so too for a shofar, you could use a non-kosher animal. They're both considered Tashmisha Mitzvah. So then he says, but still, maybe Sukkah is not as much as a shofar. Maybe shofar, again, is a higher level than that of a Sukkah, because shofar has the concept of Kilefnayim Filefnim. So he goes back and forth. The Aruch HaShulchan is a very interesting distinction, and he says a very fundamental chilek as follows. He says, the din is as follows. When it comes to a mitzvah that you could use only animal material, such as tefillin, such as a shofar, that's where we say you have to use a kosher animal. When it comes to something that you don't need to dafka use a kosher animal, you use any material you want, of the materials as animal, then you are allowed to use non-kosher animals. So by shofar, which can only come from an animal, and by tefillin, which can only come from an animal, you must use kosher animals. But the walls of a sukkah don't have to come from animals. You could build a wall from whatever you want. You could build it from that which grows from the ground, from wood, from metal. And since you could use any material, even non-animals, so when using an animal, you would be allowed to even use a non-kosher animal. That's the interesting chilek of the Aruch HaShulchan. Halacha l'maisa, the Rama says we should be machmer for the shita of the Ran, for a shofar, and not use a treif animal. You should use a shofar only from a kosher animal. But if one were to be stuck, and all you have, the Mishabur says, if all you have is a non-kosher animal shofar, then certainly one should use that on Rosh Hashanah if need be. Back inside the Gemara now. Gemara wants to know, around halfway down, Chaf Ches Amir Beis here, my Havala the Tachash Shahaya Bimei Moshe. Halach Lamaisa. Bottom line, what was the status of that Tachash that was around in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu? Was it a kosher animal or was it a non-kosher animal? Now, this is an interesting question because this seems to not be relevant. It's a by the Havahava, what happened. What's the relevance of this? But either way, the Gemara says Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Shimon Ben Lakish, Amar Hayah Rabbi Meir, Tachash Shehaya Bimei Moshe. the animal tachasha was in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu bria b'fnei atzma haya. It was a creature in its own right. It was a different type of species. The Chachamim weren't able to figure out whether this was a chaya, a wild animal, whether it was a behema, whether it was a domesticated animal. The Karen Achas Hayisel B'mitzcho, they had one horn at the center. This was, you know, what we call a unicorn. You know, unicorn, people think, is a myth. It never really happened. Not true. It's clear from the Gemara here that unicorns did exist. We happen to have a number of interesting Gemaras whereby things that we think are myths and fantasies never existed. You know, there's a Gemara in Bechars that talks about some type of mermaid, a half-man, half-fish type of creature. Unclear whether or not that Agata is meant to be taken literally or not, but this is meant to be taken literally. That's certainly true. So we have this animal that, again, is a combination, rather unclear whether it's a chai or a behema. It had one horn, it's a unicorn, and Lefisha Nizdame and Moshe, it only came a very short period of time, in the times of Moshe Benu, for the purposes of the Mishkan. Vinignaz, and afterwards it was hidden, so the unicorn came once and left, and it existed, but we don't have it anymore. It's extinct. Midakamar Karen Achas Hayesalo Bimetzcho. Now, from the fact that this braisa describes a tachash as having a horn, one horn in its center, in its forehead, shema mina, we could deduce from this that tahor haya must have been a kosher animal. Damar of Yehuda, shor shehikriv adam harishon, keren achas, hayisala b'mitzcha. The animal that Adam brought as a carbon was had one horn as well. It was the same animal, it was the same tachash. It was a unicorn of some sort. And because we know only kosher animals may be brought as a carbon. Shenamar, how do we know it only had one horn, that the carbon that Adam brought? It says in the Pasuk Ketilim, v'asitev l'Hashem mishor par makrin mafris. Makrin is a lashon of yachid. It only had one keren, only one horn. So we see makrin tarti. Makrin sounds like makrim. Makrin sounds like there are two horns. Mashma. Gemara says Amar of Nachman Bar Yitzchak makran ksiv. It doesn't have a yud there, even though it's pronounced makrin. It's written as makran, which implies keren, only one keren. And just like the keren in the times of the one keren, one horned animal in the times of Adam was brought as a carbon and was kosher, so too the one horned animal, the tachash, in the times of Moshe Benu was a kosher animal. So Gemara says, okay, now that you've established that it was a kosher animal, well, maybe you could answer also, lifsho mina dimin behemahu. You could also answer the other question, that it was a behema, because as karbanos, we don't allow chayos, wild animals, no wild animals are ever brought as a carbon. Only behemos are brought, cows and goats and sheep. So here as well, if it's brought as a carbon, we could also conclude that not only was it a kosher animal, but it was a behema also, it wasn't a chayo. And the Gemara says, no. Kaven de'ika keresh d'minchayahu. Since there's also a wild animal that also has only one horn, for less ela chada keren, there's only one horn, ika meimar minchayahu, there's room to say perhaps it was a wild animal. So although when it came to Adam Rishon, the animal he used must have been a behema, because it was used as a carbon, the times Moshe Rabbeinu, since he wasn't bringing this as a carbon, he was just using the skin for the covering of the Mishkan, it could have been the chaya. So the two types of animals that have one horn, two types of unicorns, the domesticated unicorn and the wild unicorn. I don't know if the unicorn is the right word to use, but that's the word, you know, unicorn. There's one horn. That's the concept that we use to describe such a one-horned animal. Okay, fine. Let's go right now. The new Mishnah tells us here in the bottom of Chaf Ches Mabez, the Mishnah says, Psilas HaBeg, we're going back to lighting candles, lighting wicks, lighting oils. The Mishnah says that Psilas HaBeged Shekipla V'lo Hivva. Let's say you have a beged and you turned it, you've spun it into a wick. And V'lo Hivva, Hivva means, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Kipla is Kimo Shegolim Psilas, that you'd twist around to make wicks using a beged. Hivva, Rashi says, is Shel Al Shel Heves. You burn it, you singe it on the fire, on the flame. Kadesh Shetei Muchureches Vitalik Yafe. Many times, if you want some type of material to catch fire, if you first singe it, light it on the fire, and then have it go out, the next time you want to light it, it's going to catch much easier. So this is an example where you have the psilas habeged, you've shekipla, you've twisted it, you've spun it, v'lo hiva, you didn't put it under the fire yet. So this case, Rebbe Elazar Omer Tamehi, this type of case is Tameh. It still has the shame of a beged, even though you've twisted it. Twisting it itself doesn't ruin its shame beged, and therefore it's subject to Tumah. Ve'eim alikin bo, but you can use it to light on Shabbos. We'll see why that is in the Gemara. However, according to Rabbi Kiva Omer Tehorihi, he says, by simply just twisting a beged into a wick, that you've lost its chalosh shame of a beged, and therefore it's not subject to Tumah, it's Tehorah, but, and also malikin bo, you can light on it. So Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Elazar have a two-way machlokas here. When you take a beg and you make it into a wick, number one is, does that remove its shame beged? Is it subject to tum anymore, or is it tahora? And number two is, can you light from it on Shabbos? So the Gemara explains both of these points. Bishamai, I understand in and tuma with respect to tuma, that makes sense to me. Baha pligi, the machlokas, the nekudas machlokas is the Rabbi Eliezer Savar kipol enamoil, simply twisting a beged into a wick. It doesn't affect any beged. It doesn't change the chalos shem beged. And therefore, b'milsa k'maisa k'aymi. It still stands at its initial shame, at its initial purpose, which is a beged and subject to tumul. That's Shitas Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Kiva Savar, he holds kipo moil. The twisting, the spinning of the beged does have an effect. And therefore, betule batel, it nullifies the beged of being a beged. It's no longer considered a beged. And therefore, it's not tamei anymore. But with respect to the lighting, what's that machloka? So what are they arguing about Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Kiva, whether you could light such a wick or not? So the Gemara explains, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Hoshaya, V'chein Amar Rabbi Ada Bar Ava, Hacha B'shalosh Al Shalosh Mitzumtzamos Askin. We're talking about a beged that's exactly three etzbos by three etzbos, which we know is the smallest shear of something that's Makabal Tumah in terms of begadim. So you have an exactly three by three etzbos beged. We're talking about where Yontif falls on a Friday. So Yontif leads into Shabbos. So there's Muksa Shalas. And now, the Chuli Alma Islay the Rabbi Yehuda. Everyone holds the Rabbi Yehuda. Damar Masikin Bekalim. You're allowed to use Kalim to light fires. Kalim are not Muksa. You could use pots and pans and wood that have Kalim that have shapes. That's Mutter. That's not Muksa. But Vein Masikin Beshiva Kalim. But to use broken Kalim that broke on Yontif, those are Muksa. Those cannot be used for lighting a fire, those are muksa. So now that it's being established, kalim can be used for lighting, but shivrei kalim may not be used because it's a question of muksa. And the chuliyama, also another assumption everyone agrees to, is islu de ula. Everyone holds of ula. Tamar ula, hamalik tzarech sheyalik berov hayotze. When you're going to light a wick on Shabbos, you have to make sure to light it, the wick has to be lit berov before allowing it to light. But you can't light a little bit and be so much the rest of it will light. So what does this all mean? So now the Gemara explains that Rabbi Elazar Savar Kipol Einu Moil. So when you take the wick and you when you take the beged and you spin it into a wick, Einu Moil, that's not effective. Meaning it's still called a beged, it's still called a kli. And Rechayven Alek Beport. And the moment you light it a little bit on Yontif, so now that turns into Havilei Shever Kli. Now it's a broken kli because now there's less than the you just broke it. It's no longer effective. It's missing the 3x3 at the balls because it was exact. So now it's slightly less, so now it's a broken kli. And Havilei Shever Kli, and V'chi Kamalik, now when it continues to light, to catch on a rove over the wick, it's in essence lighting Shever Kli Kamalik. You're lighting a broken kli. And we said before that everyone agrees to Rabbi Yehuda, you can't light a Shever Kli. But Rabbi Akiva Savar, he holds Kipa Mo. The moment you take a beged and you turn to wick, it's no longer a beged anymore. We could ignore the fact that it's 3x3, it's both, it's no longer a beged. Ain Torah's kli alav, it's not called a kli anymore. Rather, the chimalik be'etz ba'amal kimalik, you're lighting an eitz. And when it comes to an eitz doesn't have any dinim of a muksa. You're allowed to light eitzim on yantif. And therefore, since it's not muksa anymore, because you got it removed from the shame of a, it's not a shivrei kli, it's not a broken kli anymore, it's eitz, it's wood, and wood can be lit on yantif for the purposes of the fire, and that's the machloka. So this machloka is about whether kipul is able to undo the shame beggar or not, that's going to go ahead and dictate whether this item is going to be considered a shivrei kli after it's lit for the first moment, or it's considered an eitz and entirely permitted. A little bit of a complicated discussion. And the Gemara just says, we'll stop with this. Amar of Yosef, Hainu de Tanina, that's what we learn in the Mishnah, when he had such a Masorah, it said, Shalosh, Al Shalosh, Mitzumtzamos. He heard once there was a statement in the Mishnah, 3x3, exactly 3x3 etzbos. But lo yadon al mayhocha, so he didn't know with respect to which halacha this is referring to. But now after hearing this discussion, now he understood that this was applied to this machlokas between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Elazar. They're arguing about this case of a shalosh al shalosh mitzumtzamos. Okay, we'll stop here and everyone have a wonderful Shabbos.